Madden Monday here at Trib Live. Tim Benz along with Mark Madden from 105.9 The X. You can check him out on The X 3 until 6 Monday through Friday. Mark is back after Tom and I held down the fort while he was gone in Vegas. Mark, while you were in Las Vegas, did you avoid getting slashed by Alex Pietrangelo?
Well, I was going to go to the game Friday, Oilers at Golden Knights, but I decided not to. I want to be out of the line of fire. I just watched the game at the Resorts World Sportsbook and Sports Bar. In fact, a doubleheader. I watched the Leafs get eliminated by Florida, too. So a good time was had by all. But no, nobody slashed me. I saw four Toronto guys who were in town watch the game and just give birth for the entire 60 minutes plus overtime and then leave drunk and having lost not only their team been eliminated, but I thought they bet maybe too much on the game from what I was eavesdropping. So, like I said, a good time had by all.
They should be used to that by this point if they're Leafs fans, right?
Well, I had to laugh where people were talking about, you know, and Leafs fans on Twitter, and these guys too. There was a goal in Game 5 that should have counted, and then the Leafs lost in overtime. If that goal counts, they, I guess, theoretically win a regulation. And, you know, the Leafs fans have been, you know, bitching like crazy about that. But what happened the first three games? Okay, when you fall behind 3-0, it's impossible for you to get screwed after that. You were reaping what you sowed.
Agreed. How'd you feel about the Pietrangelo situation? I thought the suspension should have been longer.
Should have been 2 or 3 games. It was convenient that Nurse got that instigator penalty in the last 5 minutes, which is a rule book call. You automatically get suspended for instigating in the last 5 minutes. You get a game as per the rule book. So when he had to get a game, it was handy that they could give Pietrangelo 1 game, so each team would be missing a key defenseman for the same game, because you want to let the boys decide it, not the refs, not the league office, not suspensions. You want to let the boys decide it.
My thought that I repeated a number of times while I was hosting on your show, Mark, and I'll do it again here, the NHL has to stop worrying about what they think is fair punishment. They need to start worrying about what the punishment will be to deter. Deterring should be the goal of punishment, not being judicious.
Yeah, no question. And like Phil Bork said on Twitter, that when you suspend for the playoffs, like every playoff game would be a 2 or 3 gamer in the regular season. Well, that's ridiculous too. You know, whatever the action is, there has to be a consistent level of punishment, a consistent length of suspension or amount of fine. It's haphazard, but that's what you have when a bunch of old school idiot Canadians or the brains behind the league, but I mean quite the opposite. But they're the real power. The GMs run the league. You got morons like Colin Campbell, who's one of the biggest dunces in hockey history, who's had far too big a say for far too long. And
Perros too, but he's not Canadian.
Yeah, right. I was coming to him, the goon from the trailer park in Washington, PA. I mean, it's an inmate, a former inmate running the asylum. So they could not handle situations, not just this situation, Tim, but in general, they could not handle situations like this any worse because they're so ill-equipped to do so.
And that's the kind of play that very easily could have taken a star player out. And I couldn't believe I found myself saying this, Mark, but I was like, well, Jesus, at least Adam Graves slashed Mario when Mario had the puck. At least the play was going on.
It was intended to take a star player out. Stuff like that, like what Trouba did to Sid last year to take him out of the series temporarily. You know, it's designed to damage the other team, to give them a lesser chance to win by removing a star from the equation. I have no doubt that's what Pietrangelo's intent was with Draisaitl. And you heard a lot of excuse-making in that Evander Kane ran wild for Edmonton, you know, and did some dirty stuff, and that the Oilers were targeting Mark Stone's injured back that he had surgery on with cross-checks. Okay, but you know, that doesn't justify what Pietrangelo did. And if Mark Stone's too hurt to play, then he shouldn't play.
Mark Madden with us. It is a Madden Monday here at Trib Live. You can read Mark here at the Trib 4 times a week and listen to him on the X Monday through Friday, 3 until 6. Back to the Leafs for a moment, Mark. Do you think Kyle Dubas is now in play for the Penguins?
I don't know. You know, one thing about Jim Rutherford, when he was GM, we knew exactly what was going on all the time because he told us. Now with you know, the GM office vacant, and we're certainly used to radio silence because that's what Hextall and Burke exercised when they were in power. I just don't know what's going to happen here. I will say for sure, though, that of the available candidates, Kyle Dubas is the best one, assuming he turns out to be available. But his contract is up, I guess. I don't know what the date is, but the Leafs season is over. So he's the guy they should get if they can. And I've heard people say, well, you know, what did he do in Toronto? He had all those resources. Yeah, but he didn't have a totally free hand. And when I say he's the best available, the key word there is available. I mean, how many, you know, great GM candidates are out there? Not very many.
Do you buy the Larry Brooks theory that he's going to bring Keefe with him and Sullivan's going to be out and coaching the Rangers?
No, I don't. I think Larry Brooks is putting that out there like the good lapdog he is for the Rangers, but I think that's what the Rangers would like to see happen. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, he doubled down on it today. He said he got an unsolicited text from a player who said that the rumor is growing stronger. You know, I get it from a GM point of view.
From what player? From what team?
He didn't specify. Yeah, he didn't specify.
Yeah, I bet he didn't.
You know, I get...
I'd like to see that text, Tim.
That GM job is not one, A, that is really all that enticing right now, and B, part
of it, you got an aging, fading team with eight no movement clauses. It's going to be really tough to affect change.
I do get the theory where Brooks would be coming from and cooking this up, in the sense that I don't think a lot of GMs are going to want to go there and have the coach have more power than he. That's, I think that might be where he's coming from on it.
Well, then let the Rangers trade for Sullivan.
I'll take the picks. I mean, Mark.
I haven't thought about that. I'm kind of ad-libbing here, but I'd want more than picks.
You know, you look at the last 6 years of Mike Sullivan, they haven't been as good as Dan Bylsma's last 6 years were.
Well, and not only that, Tim. Yeah, he hasn't won a series since 2018. And here's the question I would ask. I know that Sullivan's going to have more power than the GM initially. Well, actually, I take that back. If Dubas is the GM, there's no way Sullivan will have more power. Because if that would be the case, Dubas would not take the job. But does anybody think Mike Sullivan's going to be the coach of the Penguins in 2 years?
Not with the way things are going, and I don't see him wanting to affect any change to allow it to be different.
Well, if that's the case, then talk to the Rangers.
Yeah, I'd investigate it. If there's fire to the smoke, that's not a bad idea to have, Mark. Maybe take the rumor and run with it and get some assets for him if you can.
See, I think Mike Sullivan thinks he can still fix this. I wonder what his attitude will be when he figures out that he can't.
And actually, he does have more players in the Rangers, I think, at this point that play the way he wants to play than he does with the Penguins.
But he doesn't want to admit that.
That's a big part of the problem.
Least of all to himself.
Mark, we'll get back to hockey in a little bit. Well, actually, wait, before we go, I got to ask you about the Flyers thing. Were you laughing as hard as I was at that tweet that they sent out?
I sure was. Okay, they're trying to rebrand excrements. We have this new brand of excrement. It's orange. And it always was orange, but it's a brighter shade of orange. And you got to really like it because we're going places with this old guy we brought back and the other old guy we're going to keep instead of getting rid of him. And we got Torts and he's a PR nightmare. But don't look over here. Look over there. I like that their Stooge Media was saying, "This was a great presentation. I really believe in this group." Come on. I'm making the proverbial motion with my right hand that sums it all up.
That tweet that was sent out, I thought Gritty typed it himself, for God's sakes. It was so ham-handed.
Well, you look at guys like Carcetti. Is that how you pronounce his name? The guy who said that the torch got passed in, 2015 from Sid to Giroux? They are such cheerleaders there. And you know what? That team sucks too bad to have cheerleaders.
No one seemed to buy it in the comments. I know that. It was made fun of left and right. If the media picked up with it and ran with it, I didn't see it. I mean, I was just hoping that Edzo didn't wind up with that job. That's all I wanted to take away from it.
I like Jonesy. I like Keith Jones, but he's dead to me now.
And Briere getting a promotion, I think that's a good thing for the Penguins, quite honestly. I think that's just one step in the wrong direction.
Well, the best development was they didn't get Bedard.
Yeah, and the Blackhawks did, and I think the hockey media is going one step too far in trying to connect the dots and say, oh, it's a wrong thing.
They should be punished for that scandal over a decade ago because that's still really relevant to now, even though all those guys are gone from back then.
It's just preening and posturing to make yourself look good on Twitter. There's no logical connect between the two points at this point.
Tim, the most woke portion of the sports media is the hockey media, and in particular the Canadian hockey media.
Let's get to football, Mark. You, as I think orchestrated, took time off during the NFL schedule release, so you didn't have to talk about it. Now that it's out, did anything catch your interest or catch your eye that could be a problem for the Steelers or a benefit for the Steelers?
Well, I mean, do we think Brock Purdy's going to be ready for week one? I mean, they have Darnold there as the backup now, right?
And Lance, yeah.
Yeah, they could just as easily lose to Sam Darnold. That's a pretty good 49ers defense. That'll be a big test for Pickett right off the bat. That's the first thing that struck me. But in general, no. I mean, the Steelers getting two Thursday night games is kind of bogus. Although the one thing that doesn't get talked about, the players hate Thursday night games till they get the long time off afterwards. Like, that's not all bad.
And it was obvious that the swap out there from the NFL was, we're giving you two Thursday night games, but they're both home games after home games. And that helps a lot.
Well, that's right. That's right.
They're getting two opponents coming to Pittsburgh who have to travel after a Sunday. So, you know.
But I just didn't see it as, you know, this big reveal because we already knew who they were going to play and where. And we act like, you know, except like I said, them playing Frisco early. You know, I forgot they played at Vegas. I won't be going to that. I go to the Penguins game every year. And I go to Vegas enough other times. But yeah, there will be a ton of Pittsburgh people there. I mean, no question about that. I mean, there's a ton of Pittsburgh people for the Penguins at Golden Knights.
Where are they putting the baseball stadium if it happens? They're putting it at the Trop. Is that right?
Yeah, they're knocking down the Tropicana, which is on the corner of Tropicana and Las Vegas Boulevard. I would think that means they're going to knock down the Oyo Casino where the Hooters is because that's right behind it. But, yeah, that's where they're putting it, right at that corner with MGM Grand Casino, New York, New York, you know, across the street from Mandalay Bay, Excalibur. So that's a pretty good – that's going to be a hot location. It's right by, obviously, T-Mobile Arena, too.
And it's supposed to be a retractable roof as well. So I'll be intrigued. I'll go to a game out there next time I visit.
I'll be more likely to go to a game there than PNC Park.
Well, unless Mitch Keller's pitching. My God, you got a chance to see Cy Young for crying out loud. What's gotten into him these last two starts?
It's the quintessential pirate media overreaction. You know, people, oh, he could win the Cy Young. He's going to be a dominant pitcher. Well, you better hope he's not or he'll never stay. If he pitches even decent, they have no chance to retain him. People are acting like trading Reynolds is the beginning of, you know, the Pirates competing to win all the time. It's going to wind up being a token effort to placate fans at Reynolds, you know, underpricing himself. I mean, they kept Ke'Bryan Hayes because, you know, it's impossible for a guy to provide $70 million worth of defense. Guy can't hit for power at all, can't almost hit at all. So, but yeah, I mean, Keller pitched really good, though. I mean, these last two games, he has been unbelievable. Can he win the Cy Young? I don't know. I mean, I hesitate to say that after two great games. Then again, we think Kenny Pickett's Ben Roethlisberger after two big drives.
Mark, should they bring up Henry Davis or Rodriguez at catcher to try to help the hitting, specifically Davis?
If they think they're ready to play at the major league level. I mean, you always have to question the Pirates' motivations for bringing or not bringing guys up the way they've done the service clock gimmick, you know, to try to keep it from starting. But I laugh when the blogger boys think that they can save the season with Henry Davis or Andy Rodriguez. That's just not going to happen. I mean, you're not bringing up Johnny Bench and Mickey Cochran. you know, you're bringing up guys who have never played in the bigs, and it's, you know, they're going to be okay sooner or later, but the question to ask now is, are they ready right now to play in the major leagues?
This hitting slump, though, they got four runs. It felt like they got 40 against Baltimore. today. I don't know what got into them. I do think a lot of it was other teams were not ready for the running aspect of the new rules, and now teams are getting more used to it. But then again, Mark, as you pointed out, you can't steal first base.
And yeah, that's the problem. They've tethered themselves to an identity that sometimes they can't reach. Does that make sense? That they can't get to what they want to do if they don't hit.
Finally, Mark, 30 years ago today, David Volek beat the Penguins in overtime in 1993. Were you at the game? Who were you working for at the time?
I was at the game. But there was a period there where I covered stuff kind of part-timey for different outlets while I was a high school writer and suburban sports editor for the Post-Gazette. I can't recall if I was there working or freeloading. but I was there, yeah.
I did a big piece for the Trib today, flashing back to the 30th anniversary of that game. I think my favorite quote came from Grant Jennings, who, let's face it, has the best voice in all of hockey. His voice just sounds like hockey. He's got that gravelly tone to everything he says. And, you know, I was asking him about the Volek goal, and he cuts me off. He goes, "Ah, that name is scratched in my skull."
Yeah, Jenner's the best. I really like him. To this day, that's a heartbreaking loss. And I know a lot of people think that the Penguins spent too much energy an emphasis on the 17-game winning streak, which is still a record, that they compiled at the end of the season. I think that's probably true. People think they screwed the team up some, like when they traded Bob Errey to Buffalo for Mike Ramsey, and they didn't play Pack and Stanton much in the playoffs when those guys had two rings. And I think there's something to be said for that. But what really happened is they blew it. And they didn't – I can't say they choked because they were too good a team for me to put that label on. But you know, they just – they should have won that series regardless of the things I just talked about that were, you know, minor blemishes.
Well,
they should have won.
You know what Murphy said? Murphy said it wasn't a matter of expending too much energy during the streak. He's just said that bad habits came as a result of the streak in the sense that they weren't playing great at times during that streak, and they won all the time anyway. And that sort of became a self-defeating prophecy by the time they got against a good counter-attacking team like the Islanders that could take advantage.
I think that's probably true. And Murph, I mean, you've talked to Murph, and obviously just did. He always had a pretty good finger on the pulse, you know, when it came to what was going good and bad. And it's tough to win three times in a row. That's why it almost never happens.
Well, that's why the defeat is so unique, Mark, because as I wrote, you know, it's one thing when Sid Bream slides across home plate and you extend a drought without a championship since 1979 and extend it, well, probably forever. You know, Bucky Dent and Bill Buckner, wide right, Scott Norwood, like those were extending droughts for cities and fan bases. This one hurt differently because it was a chance at immortality. Like, you don't usually have franchises with landmark losses like that after they just won twice in a row, but somehow it felt like that defeat qualified for the Penguins.
And it felt like the end right then and there. I think that scarred that franchise, even though they should have made the final in 96. The refs just, you know, let Florida clutch and grab, and it's a... I hate that cliche, clutch and grab, but that's what beat the Penguins. That was the referees trying to make sure Brian Skrudland was as important as Mario. Now, I will say this, though. In the 93 loss to the Islanders and the 96 loss to Florida, Tom Barrasso let in that awful goal to Tom Fitzgerald against Florida in Game 7 of the conference final. And you got to stop that shot by Volek in 93. You know, I'm not trying to make a guy I don't like into the bad guy, but those goals speak for themselves.
Reggett tried to defend it when I talked to him. Of course, I couldn't get Barrasso. You'll be shocked to know that the media relations guy from the Italian team he's coaching said, Mark, that Coach Barrasso doesn't do American interview requests. So I didn't get him for the piece, unfortunately.
You should have said, "Hey, I'm a Pisan. I want to talk about Italia, about Napoli. They just won the Scudetto."
Reagan tried to defend it. Peter Taglianetti, who rejoined that team, he did an interview for me for this as well. He said, look, Barrasso usually stops that 10 out of 10 times. Well, I guess this was the 11th out of 10 then because, yeah, he should have stopped that one. It's not like Volek smoked it. It was a 2-on-1, but, you know, he came way out to challenge.
That's a bad angle. You got to stop that shot. And some other things in that series, like Glenn Healy's a pedestrian goalie. He never played that good before and never played that good since. Kasper got under the skin of the Penguins forwards with the way he played, especially at that point in his career. Just a lot of things went wrong.
Kasper gave me a great line, Mark. I said, what was your strategy going in, and how did it help you beat the Penguins? And he goes, we didn't have a strategy because we didn't think we had a prayer to win. We didn't even have a strategy.
Yeah, Kasper was a factor, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I he's hilarious. I love him. Hit the Lemieux Fantasy Camp when he was checking people a couple years ago. He hasn't been back since. And maybe he just couldn't make it, Tim.
Mark Madden, check him out. He'll be back on the air at 3 o'clock Monday, and we're doing Madden Benz Unfiltered 9:30 at the Trib Live Facebook stream. This is Madden Monday on Trib Live.